my teeth. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His abundant mercy. He has kept us until today. We pray Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us end well and to make us benefit the rewards of ending as Muslims in the grave and on the day of Qiyam. Ameen. In continuation of the explanation on the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu Abu Abd al-Rahman, the hadith of As-Sadiq al-Masruq. Last week we looked at some issues regarding the coming together of the nutfah of the male and that of the female. We looked at issues of artificial insemination, IVF, in vitro fertilization as they call it, and the issues of test tube babies, as they call it. And then we looked at issues of abomination, sex determination, and other issues last week. Today, inshallah, there are a few other issues that are connected to this hadith that the evening light will make benefits that we look at them. About four or five issues that we open up, inshallah, to become about eight. The first of them is the issue of miscarriage. There are issues of miscarriage connected to the hadith. There are also the issues of still born. That is connected to hadith. And there are also issues of premature delivery or premature labor that is also connected to the hadith. Also, there are issues of nifaq, as far as the three cases mentioned above are concerned. There are also issues of janaza regarding whatever happens from the first three cases also, imma from premature delivery or from stillborn or from miscarriages. We'd like to look at these issues as brief as possible, inshallah, so that we can just end the matter here. Else there are a lot of other issues, issues of inheritance, as far as the child in the womb is concerned, issues of giving gifts to the womb in the child, to the fetus in the womb, and all these other issues, very, very complex issues, are still connected to the child being in the womb. But we leave those, inshallah, for some other time. So we'll look at these ones very briefly today, inshallah, hoping that we'll make benefit from them. We explained from the last discussion and the discussion that came before, as the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ يُجْمَعُ خَلْقُهُ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا نُطْفَةً ثُمَّ يَكُونُ عَلَقَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ ثُمَّ يَكُونُ مُضْغَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ ثُمَّ يُنْفَخُ فِيهِ الرُّوحُ ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكُ فَيَنْفُخُ فِيهِ الرُّوحُ وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتٍ بكتب رزقه وأجله وعمله وشقي وسعيد until the end of the hadith. So, and we said that when the nutfa of the man meets with the nutfa of the woman, then the connection that is formed, the nutfa thing to be charged that is formed, that is different between when they had not met and after they had met. When they had not met, they are each of them nutfa. But when they had met, they are also referred to as what? Nutfatin amshaj. So from nutfatin amshaj, the zygote flows into the uterus of the woman and it gets attached to it and begins to transform from nutfa to alaqa, from alaqa to mudga, all over a period of 120 days. And we told us how these things can happen imma artificially or imma naturally, to quote unquote. We said we'll be talking about things that are related to miscarriages. If we remember from the riwayat of this hadith, especially those in Sahih Muslim, Kitab al-Qadr of Imam Muslim in his Sahih, we remember that we mentioned that at every stage Allah sends it's a malaika that Allah has attached, al-malakun muwakkalun bi-rahm, the angel that is assigned, is assigned the duty of being in the womb, and that after the first 40 days of Nusfa, it announces, it calls unto Allah asking, should I allow it to go or I should destroy and all those. So the medical doctors will refer to things like that. If the angel is commanded to destroy the nutfah in amshaj or the alaqa or the mudra, those people will refer to it as a miscarriage. The medical doctors will refer to the discontinuance of pregnancy in the womb, they will start with, they say it's miscarriage. So they say it is when the pregnancy is supposed to continue, but it is discontinued. So if you remember, we mentioned one of its forms last week when we talked about abortion. That one of the forms, one of the ways that pregnancy is discontinued is abortion. So this is also abortion, because abortion generally means discontinuance of pregnancy. That pregnancy will become discontinued. But it can be discontinued in two ways. The discontinuance can be induced, can be discontinuous, can be spontaneous. It can be induced, but if you bring about it, you cause it. So when you say abortion is hard, as we discussed last week, it is talking about induced abortion. So we discussed issues of a woman whose life is threatened and all that. I'm sure we remember those matters. So, but when the discontinuance of the pregnancy is not induced, it goes on its way, on its own. This is what is referred to as what discourage. So, but if the discontinuance is induced, then we conveniently refer to that as what abortion. But if the discontinuance of the pregnancy is going, now someone stops it, we say abortion. But if it stops on its own, though it cannot stop on its own, we remember it cannot stop on its own from those hadiths we had mentioned, that the angel will ask Allah, should I destroy it or should I allow it to go? So it goes with the permission of Allah. And it is also destroyed by the permission of Allah. So, but when the people want to put it to destruction themselves, in line with what Allah has destined for that genuine, for that fetus in the womb, we say that is abortion. But when it becomes on its own destroyed, we say that is miscarriage. So, the scientists, these medical doctors, they say that if you take 100 women that are pregnant, 25 of them will have miscarriages. If you take 100 pregnant women, 25% of pregnant women, they have miscarriage. And some of them get so used to miscarriages to the extent that about every pregnancy they have, they get miscarriages. So for we, from the lines of Akira, we are going to say that Allah does not distinguish the responses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those angels that are given the duty of taking care of the womb is that they should what? They should destroy the pregnancy. As I did, we say to you too that we can mention some reasons why the pregnancies finally become miscarriages. But they can't say actually which one actually occurs. So they can just give general explanations. So sometimes they say miscarriages come about because, yes, the womb of the woman is supposed to have some certain, maybe physiological and biochemical assemblage. That is the way Allah creates the womb of that particular woman. And perhaps some chemicals she's secreting in her womb, they do not allow for the pregnancy to stay. So the pregnancy will go away. But we will say those are asbab. Else, the real matter is that the angel asked Allah, he tried to destroy it, and he said, yes, put it away. Because Allah has not destined its creation. So when these things happen like that spontaneously, there are other reasons that they gave. Perhaps a woman, you know, smell some chemicals that are dangerous to her, it can bring about this spontaneous abortion, that is miscarriage. She can just get the fetus destroyed. And they say that these miscarriages, they occur between the 4th and the 12th week of pregnancy. That is between the 28th day and the 54th day. Between the 28th day of pregnancy, that is the within the first period of halakha, and the 84th day, which would have been the early period of mudghah. So within this period, you see that is when most of the miscarriages occur. Most of the miscarriages occur between the first 28th day and the first 84th day. And they say that most of the times, the woman, after she has this miscarriage, she either is one of two things. Either she loses everything in the womb, everything that has been formed, plus the liquid sustaining the pregnancy, everything gets out of the womb. Or some get out and some remain. They will say those things that are remain, they should make surgery sometimes. They have other means by which they remove those things. So all these that we have mentioned are referred to as miscarriage when they happen spontaneously within the first 84 days of pregnancy. But when it happens between the 84th and the 164th day, they said it's from 24 weeks, they refer to that as stillborn. And don't forget that by that time, from 24 weeks, yes, 24 weeks about 168 days or thereabouts. From about that time, in some cases, the life is either given to the fetus, which would have been after the first 180 days, or the life would not have been given when it occurs. If it occurs when the life is not given yet, the rulings in the Sharia, the rulings that apply to issues of miscarriage will apply to that stillborn, even when it has been more than 84 days. Do we understand? They refer to what happens when a woman loses pregnancy between the first 24 and 84 days are miscarriage. At that time in the Sharia also, the hadith makes us understand that the life has not been blown to it, because the life is blown to the fetus after 120 days. So it means there is a difference between the rulings of the Sharia when it is miscarriage and the rulings of the Sharia when it is a stillborn. A stillborn is a fetus, a pregnancy that is spontaneously terminated. Don't forget, we're using spontaneous, not induced. We say it is induced when we refer to what? Abortion. But when it happens spontaneously, it just happens, one reason or the other. Maybe the woman develops she smells something. By that, she starts feeling some unease. And then she starts having things to make her lose the pregnancy. So if it happens after the 120th day, yes, they will still refer to it as stillborn. But the rulings also will be different from the rulings of a child or a pregnancy that is lost before 120 days. So in the Sharia, the consideration is between 120 days above or below when life is blown. To the medical scientists, they will say the difference between a stillborn and a miscarriage is between after 84 days. They will consider it as what? A stillborn. But in the Sharia, it will only be considered a stillborn after 120 days. Do we understand? So if it is a stillborn, it's what they say, the stillborn is the delivery of a dead fetus. The delivery of a dead fetus. In the Sharia, the fetus cannot be referred to the dead until after 120 days, when the life is already blown into it. Do you understand? So what they will say in medical sciences, that it is 84 days. But we are saying before 84 days, the Sharia, Allah, who makes the life, makes us understand that by 84 days and after 84 days before 120, there is no life there. So you cannot refer to it as stillborn. Meaning that the Sharia will adjust that definition of a miscarriage. That a miscarriage is everything that happens between the first 120 days of a pregnancy. Do we understand? So the matter in the Sharia is before 120 days and after 120 days. So when it happens after 120 days, we say it is a stillborn. So a stillborn is a pregnancy, a fetus, a janin, a child in the womb that is born after 120 days, before the term. That is before, you know, because in medicine, they say, also they agree with the Sharia here, that the minimum period that the child can stay in the womb is 6 months. Medical scientists affirm this. But the problem is, what is the maximum number of time? In the Sharia, there are no evidences to show that a child can stay for as long. Well, if you read some books of Siyah, they say Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah stayed in the womb of his mother for 3 years. There are no authentic narrations to indicate that. So some scholars say it is 2 years, some scholars say it is 1 year. But there are no evidences. You know what I say when we say evidences? Like when we say no, life is blown into it after 120 days. If you ask us what is the evidence, we hold the hadith, this hadith we are reading. So but there is no evidence to say this is the maximum number of periods somebody can stay in the womb for pregnancy. But the Sharia makes us understand that also, that the minimum period that the child can stay in the pregnancy, and we say it is born to term, if the child is looking normal. Because if it is not looking normal, another matter will come up that we'll mention as a third case, which will be the issue of premature delivery. So if it is born before term, such that it is about 3 to 5 weeks, because even the time differs for different women. Some women it is 40 weeks, some of them it is 37, some of them it is a little lesser or a little more than that. It's a range of periods for what they refer to as what, 10. So if the child is born to 10, it's a different feeling. That's a normal delivered child. But the minimum time that can happen, like you say, it's a range of periods. It can be 40 weeks, it can be 37 weeks. What if it happens far less than that? You say, okay, the minimum it can occur, that we can say, yes, a child is born in 6 months. And that would be 6 times 4, 24 weeks. Do we understand? And that is establishing the nusus of the Sharia. One of the scholars will ask this question, that ما هي أقل وأكثر مدة الحمل. What is the minimum and the maximum period of pregnancy? How long can a child stay in the womb? I will consider it to be a child normally delivered. The Sheikh said, Hafizahullah, that أقل مدة يتكون فيها الجنين ويولد فيها 6 أشهر. He said, أقل مدة, the shortest period, يتكون فيها الجنين, that the child can be formed in the womb, وَيُولَدُ فِيهَا, and after which the child is delivered, it's a normal delivery, keep everything it seems to be normal, is 6 months, لِكَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, based on the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا, that حَمْلُهُ, he's being in the womb, وَفِصَالُهُ, and he's being weaned, man's being weaned, you know, weaning. Weaning is when a man is giving, or a child is giving pregnancy, or is giving breastfeeding. So he's being breastfed. He says, وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ. His period of being in pregnancy, together with the period of fall, the period that he takes so breast milk and his wings, he says, فَلَفْتُونَ شَهْرًا. It's 30 months. This is established in Surah Al-Ahqaf. He said, what I said, مَعَ قَوْلِهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ. He said, when this statement is confirmed together with the statement of Allah, that وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَمَيْنِ, the child is weaned for 2 years. So if you take 2 years, 24 months, you wean from the period of both pregnancy and weaning, which is 30 months, you see that he'll be left with 6 months of remaining in the womb of pregnancy. And this is in conformance with modern science. Modern science says the minimum period a child can stay in the womb is 6 months. So the modern science conforms with the truth of the Quran. The modern science conforms with the truth of the Quran. Because if it's mediated, you will say no, you will still discover another one tomorrow. Meanwhile, this is the basic truth from the Quran and the Sunnah. The Quran makes us understand that the minimum period a child can stay in the womb is 6 months. Like in the maximum period, there's no evidence. It's not just to say no, the maximum time a child can stay in the womb is 2 years. Maximum time, 3 years. Maximum time is 4 years. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great, is sublime. He can decide what he likes. Tomorrow you can find out that they have been taking care of a pregnancy for the past 3 to 4 years and the child is delivered safe and the mother is safe. Like about last week, it was discovered in the US, it was on the Yahoo page, that a woman of over 60 years gave birth to a child. Over 60. She has a picture on the front page of Yahoo. Once you open your Yahoo page, you see the woman. 60 years. Far over. 20 years over menopause. So don't be surprised a child can be taken care of in the womb for 2, 3, 4 years and is delivered. So the fact that the Sharia is silent on it means Allah can do what he likes. For adding him, but this one that he has mentioned, no child can be given birth to from below 6 months. And you think that the child is normal. Because this is clearly mentioned in the Sharia. He said, إِذَا كَانَ الْفِصَالُ عَمَيْنِ لَمْ يَبْقَ إِلَّا 6 أشهر. He said, if the time of fisal, if the time of weaning is عَمَيْن, 2 years, then he says, there's nothing left except 6 months, لِلْحَمْلِ, for the pregnancy to occur. He said, وَهَذَا مَذْهَبُ الْجُمْهُورِ مِنَ الْفُقَهَا. He said, this is the position of the majority of the scholars of Islamic jurisprudence. Allahu Akbar. He spoke about the issue of the maximum period. And all what he was talking about is an extensive discussion. Is that there is no evidence to say it is a maximum of 2 years, a maximum of 1 year, a maximum of 365 days. There is no any evidence from anywhere to back that up. So, if a child is born, we go back to the basics from where we are coming. If a child is born, if a child goes out of pregnancy or a pregnancy is discontinued before 120 days, we say it's what? Miscarriage. If a pregnancy is discontinued from after 120 days, but before term, that is by time here, we are not talking about the minimum term. We are talking about the term that is known, that is common, which is a period between 7 weeks and 40 weeks. So when we say term, we are just using it because that is what is common. And that can be given a ruling too. Because the ulama say, al-hukmu lil-ghalib wal-nadir la-hukma laha. That is the ruling in the Sharia is given to what is predominant. He says, wal-nadir, what is scarce, sometimes happens. La hukma laha does not carry a ruling. So if the people in medical sciences can prove to us that it cannot exceed 37 and 40, so we have a qaida in the Sharia to back that up. We say, oh, the Sharia makes us understand that what is common and giving the ruling. We say majority of the people who have their pregnancies ended on term between 37 weeks to 40 weeks. Okay, the Sharia says al hukmu lil ghalib. وَالنَّادِرْ لَا حُكْمَ لَهَا. We'll give you and you allow us to go. But if the hukum, the ruling belongs to what is common. What only happens sometimes cannot be given the ruling. There are so many examples regarding that anyway. So if it happens between after 120 days to shortly before delivery, we say there's a period of stillborn. So that can be considered as stillborn. The child was born dead. The scientists say that sometimes it can happen 2, 3, 4 weeks, the child is in the womb, the mother doesn't know that the child is dead. So the longer it takes in the womb after the death, the more dangerous it becomes to the health of the woman. So we'll be coming back to the rulings of the Sharia. What will the woman do in all these situations? But it is necessary that we understand them. So that when we are talking about the rulings, we will not be talking about stillborn, premature, and all that. But if the child is giving birth to, for example, that woman, her own time, she has 2, 3, 4 children. And all these 2, 3, 4 or so children the woman has given birth to, the time, her own time, is 6 to 7 weeks. If she gives birth to the child at the 32nd week, it will be considered a premature. It will be considered a premature. So from between 5 to 6 weeks before the term of the person, it will be considered as premature. And the further away, because it can be given birth to when the child is alive, the premature are given birth to alive. I've seen some. Alhamdulillah, they are both in the medical school today. Two of them, they are giving birth to prematurely. And Allah saved them. So they say there are modern medical techniques so with which they can sustain those premature. So they pick them, give them, put them under conditions where they can sustain their life and grow gradually until they become a child that is to them. So there is the ruling on the premature, there is the ruling on the stillborn and the issues of the miscarriages. And you will see that something that connects all of these in the Sharia is the issue of nifas for the woman and the issues of funeral for the child if the child is born dead, as is in the case of a stillborn. Do we understand? So two issues related to the woman, that is issues of nifas, pre or postpartum bleeding, postpartum. The reason why I'm asking for postpartum is I'm not sure. Well, I'm sure I've read something like that. They call that not postpartum. So, because it's their term. So, we say, okay, postnatal bleeding. That's post-delivery bleeding. So, that has to do with the woman. It has rulings in the Sharia. As for the child, will be considering the case one if it is born as a premature. That is before, no, if it is born as a miscarriage before 120 days. If it is born as a stillborn after 120 days. In the Sharia, it's like that. And if it is born as a premature, that is after the 24th week, before term. So we say the child is premature. And of course, after it is actually born, we know if the child is singing, shouting, oh, everybody. So we may not bother ourselves so much. Those ones who go into issues of Islam and Mawlid, so which is out of our way for this hadith that we are considering, inshallah. So the first issue is, if a child is born, if a fetus is delivered, I don't want to say a child, because there is no child before 120 days. There's no living being before 120 days in the Sharia, no life in it. So if the fetus is delivered, can we still refer to that as a zygote? No, it's more than zygote now. So what do we say? Zanin in Arabic covers everything. Fetus before 120 days, it's still coming. How can it work? That's what I'm asking. So if the fetus is delivered before 120 days as a miscarriage in the Sharia, what is the ruling? Ulama say that this will only be considered as something that just delivered. It's just out of the womb of the woman. We'll read the first one, inshallah. It's just out of the womb of the woman. So it will just be wrapped and buried. The question is, why buried? Wrapped, understood. But why buried? Say buried, and of course, salah will not be performed on it. Because that is the funeral prayer, salatul janaza. Because salatul janaza is performed on a human being, on a being. And because life is not blown to it before 120 days, it has been as a miscarriage. So it's just some death, some things to be disposed. So it is buried because the sunnah, there's a hadith in Sunan al-Bayhaqi. The Imam al-Hafiz al-Hajar has mentioned it in Bukhari. When he was talking about Sunan al-Fitra regarding fingernails, and he was saying that the Sunnah regarding fingernails is to bury them. So there are some also reports in Muslims, Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayb, and they are authentic, that indicate that the past predecessors, whenever they removed anything from their body, they buried it. They removed their hair, they buried the hair. If they removed their fingernails, they buried the fingernails. So there is a riwayah from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu that if he removes his fingernails or anything from his body, he buries it. So Imam al-Nawawi in Majmu' Shaf Muhazzab and others apart from him say that the sunnah of Baha, including Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah, that the sunnah about whatever comes out of human body is that they should be buried. The sunnah about whatever comes out of, somebody had asked, why do people bury placenta? Say yes, because it is coming from the human body, and whatever comes from the human body should be buried. This is the evidence for burying a placenta, because it's something that has come from the human body and should be buried, as the past predecessors used to be. I was talking about Ibn Hajar and the riwayah he brought from Sunan al-Bayhaqi, and he attributed it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But another riwayah of the same hadith that Sheikh al-Albani has mentioned, and he declared that riwayah da'if. But if you look at the chains of narrations, you see the chain of narration that he declared da'if is different from the chain of narration that was mentioned by Ibn Hajar. It is possible that that was mentioned by Ibn Hajar is authentic. Do we understand? So we say, even if the report is not authentic in any way, we have the report of Abdullah ibn Omar. And to follow Abdullah ibn Omar and the past predecessors regarding a matter like this is better than doing just what we like. So we say that's why we bury the miscarriage. We wrap it and we bury it. The question is, why didn't we pray and wash and do that? He said, because it is not a being yet. And Jinaza is performed on something that is a being. And how do we know that it's a being? We know that it's a being after 120 days. When we have been told from this hadith by Absadiqul Masdur that life has been blown into it after 120 days. We understand. The other issue is on the stillborn. The stillborn now has had life, but lost it. The stillborn had life, but lost it. So it's different from the miscarriage. So it implies that in the Sharia also, beloved, that the children will be prayed upon, will be washed, will be prayed upon, wrapped, and then buried. But the praying upon that, praying upon anything, any human being that dies before maturity is just jaiz, just permissible. It is permissible. It is not like praying upon someone who has attained the age of legal responsibility in the Sharia. Praying upon a dead child that has not attained the age of legal responsibility is permissible. So they say, okay, it means baking it is also permissible. It means wrapping it is also permissible. So how and where did we get the evidence that it is permissible to perform the salah to the janaza on a stillborn, that is on a child that is above 120 days in the womb, and from that up to the age of not being the age of legal response. This is a long range of period from the time in the womb up to the time it's alive. They have to reach a legal responsibility after 13 or something. It is not that 13 is the age of legal responsibility. It varies with people. Because it has to be maturity and intellect. Yes, those are the two things that with which we determine legal responsibility in the Sharia. Maturity and intellectual equivalence. So once someone is sensible intellectually and is matured, because there are, for men, there are indices of maturity, like the person growing pubic hairs, like the thick voice for males, like he's dreaming. Some of the scholars consider dreams, that is, wet dreams, as the epitome of maturity for a man. But for the woman, her first menstruation is the epitome in the indices of maturity for the woman in terms of physical maturity. The other thing we'll only be looking out for is the intellect. Because one who is mature but not, is not intellectually sound is not legally responsible. I think we have discussed some of these matters before. So from that age up to from when the child, from after 120 days up to the time the child becomes legally responsible, these rulings are applicable. It is permissible to pray. It is permissible, it can also be left. From where did we get that? Perhaps we should read the fatwa and explain things related to that. This sheikh was asked, هل يُبْسَلُ السَّقْتُ وَيُكْفَنُ وَيُصَلَّ عَلَيْهِ Do Saqt is also in Arabic used for miscarriage. So but we know when we talk about to hear what we mean. We have cut off the issues of miscarriage. We are talking about stillborn now and perhaps premature. Because the premature could be born alive and it dies. What did they say? They say most of them, they usually survive, but many of them also die, depending on the situation that they have. I know that even in Nigerian hospitals now there are situations. I said I have some people, relatives, two of them. The fourth child and the second child, they were born premature. They are both in the medical school. They are doing well, mashallah. So, the premature can be born and then it dies. So, it applies to all the sets of the people. When we say abstract to there, from stillborn, it's what we regard. The Sheikh said, Alladhi yazharu li wallahu alam. What is apparent to me, and Allah knows that, annahu iza fakaka of hayyan, is that when it comes down, when the pregnancy is spontaneously discontinued, we explain that when the pregnancy falls, hayyan, while the fetus is still alive, summa mata, and then dies. What we're talking about? What premature? Do we understand? He said, gusila, it will be washed, wakufina, and shrouded, wasuli alayhi, and the salah to be performed on it. He said, وَلَيْسَتِ الصَّلَاةُ عَلَيْهِ فَرْضًا And the salah that is performed on him or on that sect is not obligatory. مَا لَمْ يَبْلُغْ As long as it has not reached the age of maturity. It has not bala. It has not reached the age of bulugh. So as long as that it is functioning, you can pray, you can lose the prayer. Just surely go and do it, like you do to the case of a miscarriage. So from where did we? Okay, that's why. He said, "Wa amma iza aqata majlisan," like if it falls, the pregnancy is discontinued, and it is majlisan. It cannot be majlisan if it had not been hayyan. Mm-hmm. So it is talking about stillborn. William. The entire qabla nafkhi ruh, this is not really necessary. That if it were before nafkhi ruh, before the life is blown into it, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُجَسَّلْ, it is talking about the Messiah. It says, لَا يُجَسَّلْ, it will not be washed, وَلَا يُصَلَّى عَلَيْهِ, and it will not be prayed upon. So he said, وَيُلْفَ فِي خِرْقَةٍ وَيُدْفَنْ, it will be wrapped in some pieces of clothes, وَيُدْفَنْ, then to be dead. So that's referring to miscarriage. But after the life is given to it, up to the time the child gets to the age of bulug, the choice is ours. We can pray and we may leave the prayer. The prayer comes from the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Astaqtu yusalla alayhi." The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Astaqtu yusalla alayhi." The stillborn is preyed upon, or the mature, the premature is preyed upon. وَيُدْعَى لِوَالِدَيْهِ بِالْمَغْفِرَةِ وَالرَّحْمَةِ, and we are going to pray for Allah's forgiveness and mercy upon the parents of the child. So the Prophet said, يُصَلَّ عَلَيْهِ, you can pray upon it. So the ulama said, okay, if we can pray upon it, those things that come also before prayer can be done, such as shrouding and washing. So the stillborn, we can do. So from where also did we know that it may not be done? The ulama say from the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad again, alayhi salatu wasalam, that his son, 18 months old child, Ibrahim, died. The child, 18 months old, Ibrahim, died. And some of the companions, like Anas bin Malik, could not give an answer to whether the child was prayed upon. Yeah, I don't know. It was said that if Anas bin Malik, who was the servant of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, throughout his stay in Medina, the last 10 years, which was around the time that the child was born, could not specify whether the child was prayed upon, then it meant that there is no, if it was prayed upon, there is no way people like Anas bin Malik would not know. And it should have been commonly known such that it would not need to be asked that, did the Prophet pray on him? It meant that people are saying, it's like he prayed, it's like he didn't pray. So from there, it's obligatory to be something that has announced and come out for Salat al-Janan. So the fact that people don't know, was he really prayed upon or not, is an indication that they are not really sure that he prayed upon him. If it's obligatory to be sure, he prayed upon it as a child. But from where did we get the evidence that we can pray upon it? It's from the first hadith we read, that he said, "Astaqtu yusalla alayhi, wa yud'a liwalidayhi bilmaghfirati warrahma." So that makes us understand we can and we may not, depending on how the situation is. Allahu alam. Al-Imam al-Allama Abu Abdurrahman Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, he said, after mentioning these ahadith in his book, very popular book, Ahkam al-Janayid, he says, وَالظَّاهِرُ أَنَّ السَّقْفَ إِنَّمَا يُصَلَّى عَلَيْهِ. What is apparent clear is that the practice that is continuously discontinued in pregnancy is preyed upon. إِذَا كَانَ قَدْ نُفِخَتْ فِيهِ الرُّوحِ, if the life has been blown into it. We understand. Segregating between a miscarriage and a stillborn and what comes after. It says, وَذَلِكَ إِذَا تَكْمَلَ أَرْبَعَةَ أَشْهُرْ ثُمَّ مَاتَ. He said, and that will be that if the death being blown into it after the pregnancy has completed 120 days and then it dies, referring to what? A stillborn. أَمَّا إِذَا فَقَطَ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ. But if the pregnancy becomes discontinued before this 120 days, Allah, we are not going to pray upon it. لِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِمَيِّتٍ, because that thing that comes out is not a dead thing, because it has not had life, so how can it be considered dead? And Salatul Janazah is for the dead. It is كَمَا لَا يَحْوَى, as it is not unknown, as it is known that Salatul Janazah is a Salah that is performed on the people. And then he said, the evidence for what he said, he brought this hadith we are reading today, the hadith of Aswadi Kulmasdi. So that resolves the issues related to janaza on the side of the child. What about from the side of the mother? Which are issues that are related to what nisa? I hope it is clear. One of the scholars that we know, his book, Abdul Azim Al-Badawi, he wrote a book, Al-Wajiz. He took his sunnah wal-kitab al-Azim. When he was talking about nifas, he says, al-nifas huwa al-dammu al-khariju bisabab al-wilada. Al-dammu al-khariju bisabab al-wilada. Zedek is the blood that comes out, the sabab al-wilada, as a result of what? Labor. As a result of child labor, as a result of giving birth to a child. So, blood associated with it, there's going to be a complexity. Blood associated with it before delivery, blood associated with it after delivery. If we go to the books of Arabic language, nifas, it has no problem. It refers to the blood associated with delivery, after delivery. But the issue is, what about the blood, the bleeding of the woman, shortly before delivery? What is it? The scholars have differed. You read their various books of fatwa. They have really, really differed on what is it. Some cases is just damol, just blood, bad blood, quote unquote. Some say, no, it is damol in the fast. That blood before delivery itself has to take the ruling of nifas. Why is it important that we are sure? Because it will determine whether she will pray or she will not pray. It will determine whether she will fast or she will not fast before the delivery. It will determine whether she will just clean it up. It will determine whether it is najasa or not. There is an importance there to know whether it is najasa or not. If she knows that it is najasa, it means it is obligatory to remove it immediately. Because it is a sin to keep najasa on the skin, from the hadith of Ibn Abbas and Sahih Bukhari. The hadith of the Prophet passing through a great site, praise the Lord of Allah. And he was seeing people being punished in the grave. And one of those who was punished in the grave is because he will not keep off urine. So urine is known as najasa. So it means he is not keeping off urine. It's a reason for his being punished. One, it proves that urine is najasa. So it proves also that it is obligatory to keep off najasa, because it is a reason for punishment. So if damu nifas is known to be najasa, it means it is obligatory to keep it off the body. Quran, as soon as it touches, you keep it off. Else, sustaining it is what is a sin. Do you understand? So that's why it is important to know that the blood that the woman bleeds that comes out of her before she actually delivers. Because some women, when they start laboring, they have blood. They have blood. They bleed. They bleed. So what is the ruling of that? So some scholars say, well, if the bleeding comes 3 days before the delivery, it should be considered as damu nifas. Some others say, where did you see those 3 days? Who told you 3 days? What is the evidence for 3 days? But Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah has a position that for now we can just hold. If you ask me for the evidences, I tell you that it's just what is most convincing to me at the moment. He said it is considered as nifas if it is before delivery, if it has to do with the delivery. He said, because damu nifas is blood that has to do with delivery. So whenever we can confirm that the bleeding before the delivery has to do with the delivery, then it's nifas. He didn't specify this. this fatwa of his Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di is also similar to that. Once we can confirm that this bleeding before delivery is what we are bothered about for now, before delivery has to do with the delivery itself, then it's done with the fast. It means from that time, the woman will stop praying. She will stop fasting. She will not fast. She will start counting her missed fast. And she's going to return after Ramadan or thereabouts. But she will know that she does not have salah. And the husband too cannot cohabit with her. Do we understand? Just because the issues of the past are just like the issues of height. So, but after the delivery, it is clear. But when the woman that has a miscarriage, is she also considered as a woman in the past? Is she also considered as a woman in the past? The answer is about obvious. The Sheikh Husseinin alayhi rahmatullah said something that is, I do not know why it is like that, but I'll just tell us. He said if the delivery is before 80 days, if a woman has a miscarriage before 80 days, you know the life is still not born into it. The life is still not blown into it. Before 80 days, he said that it will not be considered as nefas. He said because it is ghayru mukhallaqa. He said but after 80 days, then it will be considered as nefas. He said because before 80 days, the organs of the body, you can't consider it as a creature. And it is considered as a creature after 80 days. But the issue is, nifas has to do with childbirth. And you don't burn something that does not have life. Do we understand? We don't say you give birth when it does not have life. So that it has human features, lives are formed at about 80 days or thereabouts, even 120 days. The limbs are from the brain, parts of the body, the hands and others. They are recognized from that. But the issue, it does not have life. It's just like mud, molded in the Sharia. Because life is not blown to it. Allahu Alam, but this is just it. On the issue of whether it should be considered in fact before 80 days, that is when it's a miscarriage that is more than 80 days or not. Do we understand? He said, before 80 days, it will not be considered as nifas. After 80 days, it will be considered as nifas. The question is, at 80 days, when it will be considered as nifas, according to that fatwa, there is no life in it. And nifas is the blood that has to do with birth. It will not be referred to as birth if it had not had life. It will have life at 120. If it is mentioned to say, okay, from 120 it can consider that nifas. Before 120 it is not nifas. It may be well understood. But at 30 days, this is just what I can tell you now. Allahu Alam. But it is clear that from after 80 days, from after 120 days, then such blood, the woman will take it after nifas when she has a miscarriage. So if a woman has, you don't want to say miscarriage, when she has a discontinued pregnancy. Do we understand? Because miscarriage has to do it when life is not blowing. So from stillborn and premature delivery, when it happens to a woman, she will consider herself in the state of miscarriage if she sees the blood, because it has to do with the blood. There is an Akhar Mawkuf and Aisha radiallahu anha, that a woman was born at her time with, and she did not bleed. Yes. So the scholars consider from that if the woman did not bleed at all, she will continue with her salawat after the delivery. It can happen today, when they do CS for people, do they still bleed? They would have removed the blood now. You remove the blood? Some still come. So if some still come, she's in the But it means that it is likely that before the expiration of 40 days, we'll come back to that, inshallah. The nifas would have stopped because most of it would have been removed from the womb. But if it is possible that a woman has a CS, she's delivered of the baby, or she delivers and there's no bleeding, we take the ruling that there's no nifas. So she will continue with her salat. But if she bleeds, then the ruling of nifas applies to her because it has to do with the blood that comes after the result of child labor. Allahu a'lam. Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Shawkani alayhi rahmatullah, also while talking about nifas, he said one nifas in his book, Al-Durar al-Bahiyya. He says one nifas aqsaruhu 40 yawman. He said nifas aqsaruhu 40 yawman. The most of the time that a woman can have bleeding if she bleeds. You know why I say if she bleeds? Because of that pattern from Aisha. That woman gave birth to a baby, she did not bleed. Okay, let us continue with her salah. So, if the woman bleeds now, and Imam Shawkani alayhi rahmatullah says, وَالنِّفَاسُ أَكْسَرُهُ أَرْبَعُونَ يَوْمًا. The most of the time, the range of time within which the woman can be said to be in postpartum bleeding is 40 days. He says, وَلَا حَدَّ لِأَقَلِّهِ. He says, there's no known evidence to restrict its minimum period. That is, you can't say the minimum period is 2 days, 3 days, but we don't have. Some people can finish their own in 2 weeks, some a week, some 2 weeks, some 3 weeks, some 30 days, some 35 days, and some 40 days. After 40 days, what will happen? We'll say it, inshallah. So that is about nifas. Nifas is easy, just like haid. So after that is determined, what happens is that we'll be able to determine whether she can pray or not, whether she can fast or not. After prayer, she does not return the prayer. For the fasting also, she does not return the fast. She does not fast until after Ramadan. Then as for her husband cohabiting with her, he can do everything with her except actual cohabitation. Some scholars say it is more cruel to cohabit with a woman even if her postpartum bleeding had stopped. They say it is more cruel, dislike to cohabit with a woman even when postpartum bleeding had stopped before 40 days, even when the person has the right to do so. They say because of the health of the woman. She may still not be. But what if the woman is still, because there are women like that, she has not reached 40 days but her bleeding has stopped and she still wants her husband, it is permissible. But if she is a child that's weak, but the man should not say, you can say any woman that does not allow the woman, all the malaika and the devil, you will be cursing her. Yassiru wa la tu'assiru, wa bashiru wa la tu'assiru. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam. Yassiru, make things easy. Yassiru, wala tu'assiru. Don't make things difficult for the people. You don't make things difficult for the woman. Then he says again, alayhi salatu wasalam, the hadith is authentic. He says, la barara wala dirara. There is no causing harm and there is no bringing harm. Causing harm is, according to Sheikh Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah, la barara, don't cause harm to people unknowingly. Wala dirara, don't knowingly cause harm to people. So don't knowingly cause harm to her, and don't cause harm to her also unknowingly. That's the explanation of the Imam alayhi rahmatullah. We are coming back to the hadith, don't worry. La barara wa la dirara. So allow the woman. So they say it's makruh to cohabit with a woman even if her postpartum bleeding has stopped before 40 days. But if it has stopped before 40 days, she will continue with her salah, she can fast and all those if she has the ability to do so. And that is based on the hadith of Umm Salama radiallahu anha, where she said radiallahu anha that kanat nufasa, that at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the woman who is under postpartum bleeding tajlisu ala ahli rasuli sallallahu alaihi wasallam 40 yawman, that is, she will stay, she will sit, meaning she will stay off salah, she will stay off fasting, and she will not be cohabited for 40 days. So it is from here the issue of 40 days come on. That hadith is reported by Imam Abu Dawud al-Tirmidhi. There is a book, Ad-Durus al-Muhimma, Bil-Mar'at al-Ummah, by an author called, a man called Amr ibn Munim Salim. In it he said there is no hadith that makes us understand that the maximum period of menstrual postpartum bleeding is 40 days. So he believes that this hadith is weak. Something is wrong, the hadith is authentic. Is in that graded authentic by many of the scholars of hadith, including Al-Hafiz al-Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the Imam al-Shawqani Muhammad Ali, and people like Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah. These are a'imma in the sun. The second thing, unfortunately, is when he was now discussing that if the postpartum bleeding of a woman stops before 40 days, the husband can cohabit with her. So the question that quickly comes to mind is, where did you get these 40 days if the hadith is not authentic? Do we understand? Where did you get the evidence that if the woman's postpartum bleeding stops before 40 days, then she can resume all these activities that we mentioned? The question is, where did you get these 40 days? Who told you 40 days? So you are saying the hadith is pushing it aside, and you are bringing something from Allah Ta'ala, perhaps your hawa. I'm mentioning it because the book is common. Books of this man is common amongst the people. The hadith is authentic. If we have the time, we can do a dirah of the hadith to establish its authenticity. The hadith is authentic. Allahu Alam. So those are issues of nifaq. When the child has passed the level of being declared as a miscarriage, that is from 120 days and on, whenever the child is giving birth to, whether as a stillborn or as a premature, and the woman bleeds, then she should make the rulings of nifah applicable to herself, meaning she will not perform salah, and she will not fast in the month of Ramadan, and the man, her husband, will not cohabit with her sexually, but he can do anything with her except conjugal relations when she's in this state of weakness of the body and bleeding after childbirth. Allahu Akbar. So we are discussing the issues of miscarriage, stillborn, premature, nifas, and janaza. I think we had discussed the issues of janaza. Allahu Akbar. I prefer that we stop these discussions on the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud here. Else there are issues of inheritance. Can the child in the womb inherit? And it's given a gift and all that. But I think we can sort that out and ask people that some other time. Or we have some other time, inshallah, discussions will come up on this. And we have the opportunity to touch them and tell us what they have said. Allahu Akbar. And we can also touch on our own and make others benefit. But I think we have had about 4 weeks of discussion on this hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. I ask Allah to make it benefit both the speaker and the listener. I ask him that he makes us understand it better than it has been said. Kulluma kullu hadha wa astaghfirullahi wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaykum salam. You see, one major lesson, these issues of child delivery and all these will really, really make us understand is that one, Allah is fa'alun lima yurid. So he did all this with each and every one of us. He made us succeed. Look at how many stages. He made us succeed in Nutra. We succeeded Mudga. We succeeded Alapha, then Mudga. Then we continued. We didn't come premature. Those who came premature, if he wills, he makes them leave. If he wills, he takes them. Everything as he wills. Companions went to him and said, can we do Azul with Allah? He said, do it, but Allah will create what he will create. People make Azul when they want to ejaculate. But now modern science makes us understand that even the fluids that come before the semen itself can carry the sex cells. The fluid that comes before the semen can carry the nuclear warhead. So there is no way you cohabit with a woman except that this sleep, if I went, they do not come, there is no cohabitation actually. So Allah is fa'alu lima yurid. He does what he likes. So somebody will go first, he can't give up his child. Okay, 66, give up his child. Before that, wasn't the wife of Nabi Ibrahim older than 66? Ibrahim himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, was he not older than that? But that when she told, she said, Ajuzun Hakim, an old woman, Hakim, non child bearing old woman, give up a child. Fasakkat wajhaha. She was hitting her face in surprise. Nabi Zakariya, alayhi salatu wasalam. Firstly, Allah is fa'alu lima yurid. He does what he likes. Two, mankind, don't be bold to disobey Allah. It's not what you are. One small cell, one thing carry like this, one thing carry like this. He comes back and Allah says, Akim of Allah, I say, I will not pray. Who are you? Allah says, ask Zakah, I say, it's my money. What's your money? You will soon find out, they put you in the grave. How does it become your money? We read in the newspaper, they say somebody stole billions of naira that was meant to make passport international, to make a national ID card for the people. He died! So where are the billions? In the Zakah, people say, will not pay the Zakah. Die, you will soon die, your days are rounding up. And the wealth goes back to those who own it. How can you do? Just distribute it. And you see, most of the time, wealth fail and die when their real owners die. Wealth die. Then you distribute it to me who is fighting, take your share. So they say, when the things fall apart, the center, it will not hold. So when the center cannot hold for the wealth, because everybody will fall apart if they still share of the money, if they share it and they don't kill themselves. Trying to own art, this is my own share. So one carry market, another carry gun, another go and carry traditional native doctor, start firing himself. He had forgotten his beginning. And he had forgotten where he's going to. We ask Allah to make us understand better than it has. If man thinks about from where he comes, he will not be boastful to Allah. They will not disobey Allah. Allah.
If a woman now, after the continental she suffered, and now she shows me the weakness or weakness that she said, maybe pray, observing prayer or even fast. Can she also say, I'm weak, I cannot fast, I cannot pray?
Like, what if that weakness does not make her recognize herself? So that's just beyond saying, I cannot pray. She will not be able to say, I cannot pray that time. The weakness that will make her not pray, is at that time, she will not be able to say, I can't pray. Or else, she should pray. She should just fear Allah and pray. Allah that saved her from the point of death when she was delivering the baby. There are simulations, there are video simulations of how child is born. You can watch it, video simulations. You see, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. The private organs of a woman open up, like a sack opens, like this. The organ that a man tries to say, okay, please adjust, it opens up like a sack, like this. And then he closes it up again. By his command, he closed the clothes. So you didn't know whether you are dead or alive. You believe that you say pray now, you say I'm weak.
The first one,
Can you have conjugal relations with your wife if she's what? Prenatal bleeding. Yes, you can. You can have conjugal relations. In fact, medical scientists will encourage you to do so. They say it will be easing up the passage, and sometimes it induces child bleeding. It induces labor. Conjugal relations. In fact, they encourage you to go ahead quickly, many times, so that she can be induced medically to give birth to the baby. So you can't if the woman is pregnant. There's no authentic evidence to say one can. The second question, we're answering. We should put the curtains on the places where the windows are. We should not put the curtains on the wall. The curtains should not be on the walls. The curtains should be where the windows are, to preserve vision into the room, to protect against vision into the room. So we're putting it on the places where there are no risks of someone looking through, there are no evidences. In fact, there are evidences that prohibit that. They are counted from Ifra. You can read Adabul Ifra. There are some ahadith, I think two or three there, where the Prophet prohibited people using curtains, not covering the walls and the louvers. Yes, but the louvers, no. But extending it beyond this Ifra, all of this is excessive spending. And Allah has prohibited that, prohibited this ummah from that. It says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَرِهَ لَكُمْ صَلَاتِ says, سِيلَ وَقَالَ بِضَوَاتِ الْمَالِ وَمَغَى وَقَفْرَةُ السُّؤَالِ. Allah has prohibited you from hearsay, transmitting hearsay, and then spending money excessively. The meaning of excessive spending is when you spend for what is not necessary. So you see that when you put a curtain here, for what? For what? That's excessive spending. It's not punishing. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum salam.
The letter of
How do you know that it's not his child? You should go and make an hand for the last of the woman. Because he's keeping a Zania as his wife.
I'm not talking about the wife now. I'm talking about the child. That the narration says that he's below the child. Now, if you know...
When he knows that the woman committed zina, or when he does not know?
Then he puts it.
When he knows that the woman committed zina, then he will go for li'an. When he cannot prove, he does not think, there is nothing to show him that the woman committed zina, then al-waladu bil farash. Do you understand?
What if the woman committed zina, or in the case of maybe a thief came out and raped the woman, and they were not sure whether the woman confessed? So maybe this will be the evidence of the husband, if he not check. So,
you see, don't construe problems. This Sharia is like that. When you organize problems, you will not be able to solve it. But you will see, when it happens, Allah will bring solutions. But may Allah never make it happen to us. Because that people come and start to people's wives and all this. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. When it happens, there's a test of iman. Real test of iman. May Allah preserve us all from that. It's a difficult situation. It's usually okay, better to allow those situations that when they happen, you ask rather than cooking them up. And then someone starts thinking, okay, you have to try to solve this problem. And all this, Allahu Akbar.
As regards the water that comes out of the woman when she's having her labor, do you think it's permissible for her that time to pray, considering what is common with the spirit of the soul, that anything that comes out from the two parties can get up?
That statement, la laysa ala itlaq, ma kharaja min sabilay, min al-nadaf, is not ala itlaq. It's not just general like that. Semen comes out of one of the sabina. Is it najasa? Allah call it sahih. Semen. Is it najasa? It's not najasa. Is semen najasa? Blood comes out. Blood of istihada comes out of the woman. From one of the sabina. Is it najasa? Jamul istihada. هذا الكود that ما خرج من سيد is not على الإطلاق هكذا. So the fluid that comes out of the woman before she delivers, if you say it's najasa, I'll just ask you a single thing, what is the evidence? Because nothing can be najasa except that there's evidence I establish is being a najasa. Something must say that something is najasa before you take it to be najasa. Just like the mud water on the street when it rains, the cars go into them, pa pa pa, and it sprays onto you. Is it najasa? Is it najasa? There are riwayat from the companions and those who came after them that sometimes it will rain and they will go into the masjid having mud and water stains from mud on their body and they will perform salah and go back to their homes. So except if najasa changes the color of the water and its smell, then it is najasa. The ijma. The evidence here is ijma. But if any najasa, any najis, changes the color, the taste, and the smell of anything that is pure, that thing becomes najasa. It becomes najis. Yes. So we are just trying to say that because for mud water on the street, we don't have evidence to say this. If you clean it for your clothes, you are cleaning it for navafa, not because that is for cleanness, not because that thing is najasa. Don't forget, the implication of something being a najasa is that as long as it remains on your clothes, it's a sin. That's one of the implications of something being a najasa. So you don't say something is a sin while it remains for your clothes, that you hasten to remove it, except you have evidence that you must hasten to remove it when it stains you. Meaning, you can't say anything is negative except there is evidence for it being a najasa. I hope it is clear. When you say the fluid, not blood, that comes from a woman at the time of labor is najasa, evidence. Is this evidence? No problem. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum salam. We say evidence, a verse of the Quran or a hadith on the Prophet Muhammad.
What's the woman that is
to blood about 40 days? The blood code, if a woman bleeds for 40 days, it's not necessarily damn najasa. Because the hadith of Umm Salama that you mentioned made us understand that the maximum time she can bleed for postpartum is 40 days. The bleeding after 40 days will be treated as damul istihada. So she will have to clean up herself and make wudu each time she has to pray. Just like woman menstruating ordinarily for 5, 6, 7 days. So for 10, 11 days she's still seeing blood. So the blood will be considered as damul istihada. If it is different from damul haid in color and smell. Because she can, for that month, be different from all other months. She can bleed damul haid for 11 days. So that's why a woman has to be able to know how to differentiate between damul haid and other than it. So when she's now bleeding damul haid, you know, because damul haid is darker and it's smelling. Like one of the scholars said, he said, women know it. He said, women know it. They know if they see the blood of her, they know it. So how do they know it? It's black in color, darker than the ordinary blood that we bleed from, and it smells. It has a dirty smell. It's not attractive, it's bad smell. That's why from what the companions, like Aisha says, Rabbi Allah had, and when they finished their menstruation, the king of themselves, with scented parts. The king of themselves, with their menstruation, scented parts. The king of their private servants with it, Rabbi Allah had. Clear away the bad odor from menstruation. So, but then when istihada is like other blood, and it is also recognized. So, a woman should be able to recognize it so that when she has istihada, she knows. When she has damul hayd, she also knows. Allahu Akbar. Allah. Praise the Lord. Last question, inshallah.
But it now said about the Kinganese court and
the hair court.
Most of the people that they didn't do their court, they did not very, very big.
It's dangerous. Yes, like one of the scholars said. He said because the Sahara, the magicians can send the genies to go and pick it. Look for it. They are looking for the person's hair and his fingernails and his placenta and his dark. So the genies will go and bring it for them. You don't have evidence to say so. But the mere fact that it is dangerous to you makes us understand that you should not do it. It is dangerous to the person who has the hair. Do you understand? But it is not sinful. Not to bury it. Do you understand? It is not a sin not to bury it. Do you understand? But it is safer to bury it. If you don't bury it, anything that happens, you face the consequences. Is it sinful to wear the left shoes first? Is it sinful? Do the same. To wear the left foot first of a shoe. Is this sinful? To wear the right. Is this sinful?
No.
Is this sinful to? No. Talk to me, everybody. Just talk to me. Shake in Islam. I am now.
Why a person is that?
He didn't command us to do so. He said that he starts with his right feet and not only in his wearing of shoes. But when we were in university, the sister was possessed by a jinn. So someone was reading the Rukia to her. I was there, and they didn't tell me. So the jinn was saying, this girl, the one she's wearing shoes, she's wearing left leg first. You say I should not punish her. I should punish her. She's disobeying prophet now. The jinn was saying that. That this one that she's wearing left leg first. So later we asked this, is it true that you used to wear left leg? But she said yes. But even when she used to go to the bathroom, she would put her right leg first. She didn't know that it's wrong. And she's being punished for it. So each time we leave some of these things, we say, hey, it's not compulsory. Sometimes the consequences are more than what we think about. Do you understand?
According to what you said, that the person disobeys the spirit of God. Any disobedience.
Does it mean that the jinn is a truthful person? Who tells you that the jinn is not a person? Yes, all those things, don't believe it 100%. The reason why I mentioned this is that some of those things could be dangerous. Like we said, your hair can be used for something against you. Your fingernail can be used for something against you. They will just send it in, go and look for it. They will go and pick it. The issue is some of what is buried in the ground, they do not know it. Because it comes from the grave. And they do not know the grave. Like they were regretting when they were told to walk by Nabi Sulaiman in the first of Allah. It is now kanu ya'lamuna al-ghayba ma labisu fil azab al-muhin. They are saying that if we had known the grave, we would not, if we had known that Suleiman was dead, this fala makharra tabayyana til jinn law kanu ya'lamuna al-ghayba ma labisu fil azab al-muhin. If they had known that Suleiman was dead, they would not be continuing doing the heavy duty of building the mansion of Suleiman. So they did not know the gate. So when you bury the something, you bury something, it becomes from the gate. So they won't know it. But if it's still there on the ground looking at it, they just pick it, they tie something, go and put it under a well. And the person who is bewitched begins to do so many funny things. Unfortunately, it is not someone who is strong with Amkar. Only Allah knows where he or she will find himself or herself. Some of these things, let's not take them lightly. Just take them lightly. For example, nobody will say that you... Let me not bring that. Anyway, just do not take those things lightly. Do you understand? It says, that's why it says, إِنَّ حَأَحْسَنَ الْهَدِي هَدِي مُحَمَّدٍ. The best of guidance is the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad. The Prophet would not have been doing that to Abbasan. He was just doing it. Nah. He had the reason why he was doing it. The closer we are to the sooner, the better for us. Somebody has a talk. A brother gave a talk. He said, the more sooner, the better. The more sooner, the better. So may Allah assist us. I said that was going to be the last question. سبحانك الله وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك باذن الله استاذ حديث وفائز عن السلام السلام عليكم ورحمه الله